Hey everyone, it's Chris here from the Fanboy Garage. Aaron is asleep right now, fighting off Freddy Krueger with his lightsaber and Jedi powers. But I just wanted to jump in here to let you know that this episode is a little bit of a Frankenstein episode for us, which I guess is kind of fitting since we're approaching the Halloween holiday. We had some technical difficulties in post-production this week, and we almost did not get to bring you this episode, but we did everything we could because it is episode 24, which is a special episode for us because it means we've officially been doing this for 6 months. So we want to thank each and every one of you on behalf of Aaron and myself. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the show and being a part of the conversation and spreading the word and just interacting with us. You guys make this all worthwhile for us. And that's why we fought so hard to make sure we could get you this episode. It is mostly intact, but there are pieces that had to be removed. So if you do hear some things that sound a little weird, well, we're going to be honest with you. That's why. But thanks again for listening, and we're really glad we could bring you this episode. So that's enough from me. Enjoy episode 24, everyone. And welcome to the Fanboy Garage. I'm Chris Lasanti, joined, as always, by my co-host, the lovely and talented Aaron Varola.
Thank you. Thank you. You're so kind. So good to be here today. Thank you.
What's up, guys? How's everyone doing? What's up, y'all?
We had a cleaner start this week than we did to the last episode.
Yeah. I mean, we say that until something else pops tomorrow, right?
No, I meant as far as there's just we started off with a lot of
I've stopped drinking bottles of seltzer before doing this. So I'm in good order.
Yeah,
I'm not as gassy.
I can't imagine what could possibly break tomorrow after all the wonderful news we've gotten in the last couple of days. But
yeah, so let's open this door and kick it right off. So the world is, I don't want to say the world, I'd say the DC fandom, the people are losing their minds over a shuffle over the release date of Wonder Woman 84. She was, you know, expected to roll out November of 2019 and has been pushed to June of 2020. So a lot of people freaking out about it. What does it mean? Is DC okay? So what happened to Zack Snyder and Dawn of Justice? And I'm like, folks, calm down. I think DC, Warner Brothers, is learning a very, very valuable lesson about getting one of their coveted superheroes, especially one of those, you know, now that we don't, you know, we've got Batman sort of cooking and Superman on the shelf. You know, they need to make sure that their characters, specifically Wonder Woman and Aquaman, have enough room to breathe. And right now, Aquaman is heavily crowded. I mean, he drops in the mere, you know, month and a half or so. And, you know, they had to learn. They have to do a little shuffle and get Wonder Woman in a place where the competition isn't so thick so they can, you know, extend the legs on her.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's when you're going to make a decision like this, you know, I just think people get rattled because it's unusual to see like what you would expect to be like a tentpole film get moved for, mm-hmm. I mean, seemingly no reason, in the sense that it's not like they required extensive reshoots or they changed directors or, you know, there was any type of complications. It just seems like they're like, no, you know what, we'll be better off in June of 2020 than we are in November of 2019.
Yeah.
And that's kind of jarring, I think, to some people, especially considering, you know, what's gone on with that studio. But, you know, we haven't heard anything at all about any problems or complications going on with this production. So it, you know, probably is just a matter of, you know, scheduling, they would rather than have it be in a crowded sort of winter holiday movie season, put it in the summer where it can be one of the biggest movies of that summer. And, you know, the other thing is, if you look at the slate for 2020, where you have to figure that by now, right? You know, you would start to hear about movies that are going to be coming out in 2020. They would start hitting production, you know, within, you know, maybe early next year or sometime next year. And, you know, Marvel has practically like nothing announced. Right. They did have an untitled Marvel film announced for, I think, like the summer of 2020, but that got moved. And we're not really sure. You know, you're not going to have an Avengers movie, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not going to have a Spider-Man movie because that's coming out next year.
No, I agree. I mean, I think a couple of things, right? So it needed to get away from the competition. So you raised a point about it being a holiday, you know, sort of wintry time period. And yeah, absolutely. So you've got, you know, initially, you know, Wonder Woman was being released in November, and you've got Frozen 2, which I know for people are going to be like, oh, you know, that's totally not in the same genre as Wonder Woman, but it's fighting for the same dollars because it's family, right? Like Wonder Woman was definitely a film, the first one that you could take, you know, kids to, and you know, when you're going to the theaters around that time period, it's usually one movie that families will pick, right? During that season, the Thanksgiving-ish season. The other thing is that shortly after the Thanksgiving holiday, you've got Star Wars Episode 9, which will just basically black out the sun. So they really want to give Wonder Woman, you know, the best fighting chance to make money. And so if you think about it, if Wonder Woman rolled out, say, I think it was supposed to come out the second week of November, maybe even the first, that's like maybe a month of it making money. Maybe it'll stay 4 weeks number one. As soon as Star Wars comes out, gone. There goes your chance of making money. And it's not, you know, I think what it also says is they're doubling down on the film itself and making sure that it's got enough room during the summer, because typically the summer can get very competitive as well. But with, you know, to your point, Chris, about Marvel not really having any flags planted in the sand. Yeah, I mean, Wonder Woman will be the sort of the champion to beat, right? Because by that time, Marvel would be moving into its newest phase. And if they do put a movie in or around that time slot, it's going to be likely like an entry film.
Right.
You know, one that they're building. They're trying to rebuild their the next phase of the MCU. Yeah. So,
plus, Marvel has shown that they are not afraid of putting, you know, movies in February, in March, in April, in May, you know, in August. You know, times like that, big movies. So you never know. Like, they may schedule, if it is like an origin story or if it is a solo character type thing, maybe they won't stick it in June. You know, maybe they'll kind of schedule it around it. So yeah, I think the chances are pretty good that Wonder Woman will be standing on her own in June of 2020. You know, I also think though it means, and I could be reading, you know, way too much into this, maybe I'm just making this up, but I would think it also means that they're gaining a lot of confidence in this Joker movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's like with Shazam and with this Joker movie, like all of a sudden maybe they feel like they have a couple of big hits on their hand for next year, and they don't necessarily need Wonder Woman to be on the schedule for next year. So why not put her over into 2020, where, you know, they're going to need a kind of a big movie to carry them, and they're willing to just make sure that they have things scheduled for, you know, exactly when they're going to be ready, and they're not going to rush things anymore, which I think is also a good sign.
Yeah. No, agreed. And just kind of looking back, I mean, so Wonder Woman stayed in the top 10 for a month, a little over a month, almost 2 months after she was released in 2017. So, held the number one spot for 2 weeks, and then was in number two for another 2 weeks. So for the first month, she was in the first you know, was either the top movie or the second to best movie to see up until July-ish. So, you know, I think it, and it was bested by Cars.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that's a good point because, you know, you think about it, I'd imagine Frozen 2 being a Cars-like movie, you know, appealing to the younger audiences, you're not going to win. You know, if you're...
No. I mean, the first Frozen was a juggernaut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And appealing to a potentially a similar audience, at least a portion of it.
You know, yeah, for younger, sure.
Younger female audience, which is, you would want to think you would try to appeal to that audience with a Wonder Woman movie as well. So it does really make sense to not want that movie to be near a Star Wars movie and the sequel to Frozen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think people should be getting excited about it, actually. And, you know, you've got Gal Gadot coming out, you know, expressing optimism, Patty Jenkins, optimism. So, you know, fans, and this is coming from me, of all people. Do not despair. I think you guys are all in for a special treat. So, and despite what some people might think, I was challenged. Someone was like, do you hate all DC stuff? I'm like, no, I'm just a burnt out DC fan. I know the potential that these characters,
right,
have. And, you know, I really do want to see them succeed, and I want them to kind of nail, you know, their success and nail the characters and the stories and all of that. And I, you know, I can't say without any doubt that that that's what we've been getting, because we haven't. So hoping that the next, you know, wave of movies will be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about that, though, this whole idea of like, well, aren't, you know, you hate everything that's DC and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, it is possible to be a DC fan and to not be happy with a lot of what's gone on with this film universe so far. And I think the reason why people say, well, you know, Marvel fans, they tend to like everything, you know, that comes out. And that's not necessarily true either. But the difference is that the MCU, you know, the DCU has taken some chances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've taken liberties with characters, and they've tried to go in a direction that potentially was going to be polarizing, and it was polarizing. So, yeah, it is possible for you to have fans of DC like we are and not be thrilled with a lot of the output that came out. Whereas with Marvel fans in particular, when you're looking at the MCU, I think you're going to be less critical because they haven't really taken a ton of chances. And mm-hmm. the stuff is very sort of easily digestible. You're going to like some movies more than others, obviously, but I don't know that there's anything that they do that's going to, you know, generate this huge polarizing reaction where people just mm-hmm. completely hate something or completely people totally love something. And that's the difference. And that's why, you know, we're sitting here as DC fans and we can say, you know, we weren't crazy about this, we weren't crazy about that. Doesn't mean that we hate DC. In fact, if we hated it, we probably wouldn't even spend this much time wanting them, you know, talking about it, hoping that they get it right.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I mean, you know, for both of us, I know that these characters hold a very special place in our hearts. I know, you know, you with Batman, me with Batman as well, but Superman and a whole bunch of other characters. You know, so for us, I mean, I think it's just that the expectations are high. You know, we know what we want as fans. We know the potential that these characters can have in cinema. Because we've gotten tastes of it, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy, no matter who you ask, I mean, I'm sure I say that, and there's going to be someone that's going to like, I absolutely hate that trilogy. But for the vast majority of people, they love it because the character was treated with respect and he was grounded in a way. And that's not necessarily to say that all DC characters need to be grounded. It's just that somebody took a lot of care and paid very special attention to, you know, the character of Batman and built that franchise and kind of kept himself in this bubble. Now, And it resonated with audiences. So that, you know, that's the sort of secret sauce, is that you can create a character that is, or create an iteration of the character that is most beloved to you and to fans, and still treat him respectfully and keep him relevant for mass audiences, mainstream audiences. And I think that, you know, look, when I was watching Man of Steel, I enjoyed it. I really did. But I walked out of that theater going, some of this stuff isn't really going to jive with fans. I knew it off the bat. And, you know, I remember where I came out, you know, hoping that it was just going to do ridiculous money in the theaters, and it just didn't happen that way. So, you know, I'm sure people can understand that sentiment, but, you know, in terms of this next phase of, you know, these cinematic versions of these characters, I think that DC is starting to find its groove. I think that they are striking a balance that not only appeals to the, you know, to the hardest of fans, the hardcore fandom, but also to general audiences and mainstream audiences. And I think that's going to be the winning combination, because it's been proven.
Yes.
Really.
Absolutely. So, speaking of winning combinations, that appeal to hardcore fans and hopefully new fans alike, Halloween came out this weekend. Now, we have not seen it yet. We are anxiously,
yes,
patiently waiting for the Revengers watch party, which is going to be, well, I guess in a couple of days from the time you will begin hearing this, the Saturday after this episode drops, we will be getting together with our Revenge of the Fans family to check out the new Halloween movie. And anybody who's been listening to this podcast from the beginning knows that, at least for me, the Halloween franchise is one of my favorite film franchises of all time. And the original movie is one of my favorite movies, period, of all time. So I'm very excited for it. And a lot of people apparently were very excited, because it made $76 million in its opening weekend, which is the second biggest October opening weekend ever, behind Venom, which just set the record a few weeks ago.
Right. Crazy.
And it's the second highest opening weekend for an R-rated horror movie, behind It, which did just ridiculous numbers in its first weekend. And my favorite stat is that after Friday, this was already the biggest opening weekend in the history of the Halloween franchise, even adjusting for inflation.
Wow.
So this thing is a monster, no pun intended, and it's exciting. It's exciting to see people talking about it. Now, what I am interested in is the fact that I've actually had a handful of people that I know, and I don't necessarily know if they're big fans or not, but they, so far, people that I know that have seen it have been kind of mixed about it. So I'm going to be really curious. Now, the reviews were strong. Actually, you know, it did really well. The critics liked it. So I'm very interested to see how this thing works. I have a feeling that this will play more towards like people like us, like the nostalgia crowd, maybe a little bit more than like the newer generation who are growing up watching like The Conjuring and more like supernatural horror that's more kind of popular today, as far as like as opposed to like a straight slasher film. Which isn't really in vogue now, but it'll be interesting. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, so I've heard nothing at all about from reviewers. I've kind of stayed away from it. I really want to go into it fresh, other than, you know, the couple of trailers that we've seen. I'm anxiously awaiting Saturday so we can finally sit down and check this thing out. And just out of just while we were talking here, I decided to go to Rotten Tomatoes, to which there's been much controversy around. But, you know, it looks like the tomato meter and the audience score is pretty much in line with one another. So we've got a 79% fresh from Rotten Tomatoes, and the audience score is 76. So,
yeah, and that overall score, the critic score, dropped a tick in like the last few hours. Yeah, it went from 80 to 79.
Was it an 80? Yeah.
And that's one of the issues with Rotten Tomatoes too, is that they, I think they, because they continue to allow people to put up reviews like well after the fact, you start to get some of the contrarians who kind of wait, and they purposely wait to get their stuff in, because, you know, that's why more often than not you start to see every movie's numbers start to drop even after the fact, which I'm not in love with, but, you know, it happens.
Should do like a certified reviewer score and then a after the fact score, so you've got three.
Yeah, or just cut it. I mean, just say, listen, these are our crews. But yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. We can go on for hours about Rotten Tomatoes and its issues.
Yeah, I haven't really heard anything from anybody about it. No one's really, you know, lit up my Twitter feed about Halloween, which I'm grateful for.
Yes, as am I.
Yeah. So it's been a little easier than I expected it to be to kind of avoid spoilers. I'm, like I said, I'm just kind of keeping myself fresh and open to it, and I'm looking forward to it, really. I think it's going to be great. I guess I lied.
We spoke too soon, see?
You know, I'll be honest, like, the new age horror movies, they creep me out. They really do, because they've got some like religious spiritual element to it, and I don't really do well with that kind of stuff. You know, the slasher stuff, like these entities like Michael Myers and, you know, Jason Voorhees, I always thought were funny. We all know where I stand with Freddy Krueger, who made an appearance on the Goldbergs, or who will be making an appearance on the Goldbergs. What the F?
Wow.
Did you see that?
I didn't. No.
So Robert Englund dons the makeup again and pops up on the Goldbergs, that TV show, as Freddy Krueger.
Okay.
You should. There's a trailer.
Now the Goldbergs is a, that's like a period thing, right?
Yeah, it's like,
takes place in the 80s. So I guess it's timely.
Yeah. It looks a little weird. I'll be honest. It doesn't look like Freddy to me. It's like joke Freddy. I don't know. It's just because he's probably older, so it doesn't jive well. And they didn't take the makeup all the way up to his eyes, right? You know, to the bottom eyelids. It's a little cheap, you know. It's like TV makeup.
Well, yeah. What are you gonna do? I mean, they're not gonna go all in for what I'm assuming was a cameo.
Yeah. I'm like really excited about how this film's gonna play out, because I hold the first one to such a high standard, and it's not even like it's gonna match that. It's just that the Rob Zombie film, and we've talked about this on episode 5 when we kind of spliced the Halloween franchise to pieces, but the Rob Zombie take at it was brutal. And like uber violent.
It was just very Rob Zombie. They're very much. I actually heard somebody describe it the other day. I thought it was perfect. It's like what Rob Zombie did was he basically made a Rob Zombie movie set in Rob Zombie's universe using the characters from Halloween.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
Yep.
But now that you mention that, though, I will say that if you haven't seen this movie yet, even if you have, and you haven't listened to our Halloween episode yet, I would recommend doing that, because I think it will build you up nicely to go see this. And we will be talking about the Halloween movie next week. At the very least, by waiting a week to see it, it'll allow us to actually have a real in-depth conversation about it, because we'll be able to do spoilers and all that stuff, because by then it'll be a couple of weeks old. And so the first time we talk about it, we won't have to kind of dance around anything, which is nice.
Right.
But maybe listen to those episodes together, or listen to our episode 5 before you go watch the new movie, because it was the trailer for the new movie that inspired that episode. It had come out like the couple days before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe you'll get like a real time take from us, because we've been talking about maybe we'll record during the watch party. Chris and I might have a couple of drinks in us, so who knows where that'll go.
I'd say there's a pretty good chance of that.
There's a really good chance that I might be burping on the on the microphone.
Yeah.
One thing I
wasn't sure if you were going to transition into something else. I did want to touch on, because you mentioned it, and I do think it's interesting, because I'd never thought about it until you just mentioned it before, how like your Twitter feed isn't really blowing up with like Halloween stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And mine isn't either. Now, I do follow a couple of like Halloween, you know, Twitter feeds and stuff. But it's interesting the response that a very successful like horror movie will get on Twitter, at least in our circles, as opposed to like an equally successful comic book movie.
Yeah,
it's amazing because here's a movie that made $76 million. It's the second biggest opening ever in, you know, ever. And it did $4 million or so less than Venom. And think about what happened with Venom on our Twitter feed.
Oh, people
versus
are
what's
still
happening
talking
with
about
this
Venom.
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no, I agree. It's interesting. I mean, I think part of it is it's like trending stuff, right? I also think that there, you know, I was going to say maybe the conversation will uptick as we get closer to the holiday, to the Halloween holiday, that is. And I don't necessarily think so. You know, I think people are just so fascinated with the controversy around comic book movies that like Halloween, regardless of its success in the box office, is really small potatoes when it comes to, you know, online conversation. Because it really isn't. I mean, it's a straightforward movie. It wasn't, it doesn't have any like really, well, it does have some strings. I mean, some like skeletons in its closet, right? It's like a franchise that, or a movie that's ignoring the rest of its, you know,
sure,
its history.
Yeah.
Picking up like right after the first movie and totally ignoring what is a pretty good sequel, you know, in Halloween 2. And no one's really, I mean, I've seen some stories written about it. Like from, you know, critics and some reviewers, none of which I've read in depth, but otherwise, I mean, the online community seems to not really care.
At least in our circles, like I said,
right.
I mean, you know, we're, but it is fascinating how low it doesn't, I don't know what the crossover is there, which is going to be interesting to see what that means for the second week box office. Because obviously, you know, these types of movies don't tend to hold up very, very well. You know, at least historically, there's always going to be exceptions. Whereas a movie like Venom, which did get a lot of talk, has held up very well, you know, mm-hmm. in the last few weeks. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the drop is in week two, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of buzz. So was that just a bunch of old school fans plus, you know, the horror movie fans that are going to go out, you know, in October opening weekend to see a movie like this? And then is it just going to kind of fizzle down? It'll still be successful. The budget was $10 million for this thing. So I'm curious to see if what we're talking about means anything, or if it just happens to be that it's just so the people that we tend to follow, whatever, you know, aren't big fans, and that's why we're not seeing the buzz.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, and I don't really, you know, honestly, like I said, I don't really care that people aren't talking about it. I'm like, good.
No, I'm, yeah, I'm with you. I was kind of afraid that I was like, oh man, I can't believe we have to wait a week and I'm going to have to avoid spoilers and all of that stuff. And I haven't even been, well, I'm going to knock on wood right now. I haven't even been threatened by a spoiler.
I haven't seen anything about
so
it.
So either kudos
again,
to those
people. What is there
people?
To spoil?
Yeah, either, well, because you don't know what the ending is. You know, maybe there's a twist. Is there a setup for a sequel? I mean, you know, there's things you could certainly spoil, like how does the confrontation happen? Like what brings mm-hmm. them together? Things like that. But I mean, I guess I'm going to say kudos to those who have seen it and haven't felt the need to kind of go on about it. That's a positive.
Yeah, don't get any ideas either.
Yeah.
Just talking about it.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, by the time anybody's hearing this, they'll only have a couple of days to spoil it for us. But so hopefully that doesn't happen. But
yeah. Yeah. All right. So moving on. So let's step out of the sort of movie realm and jump into some TV stuff. So let's start with another Netflix show that has since bit the dust. We're playing taps for Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest. So when Iron Fist got canceled, I was like, what? You canceled Iron Fist because the first season was whack and you didn't cancel Luke Cage?
And we even said, well, I'm sure Luke Cage will probably get a third season.
Yeah. And they were working on it.
Yeah.
And they were working on it. And I guess some of the like behind the scenes commentary was that creative differences, apparently. Which is,
it's hard to imagine what that could have been, but okay.
That's really weird.
I mean, I guess creative differences is so vague that it could be anything, but
yeah, it's like irreconcilable differences.
Right. Yes.
But the interesting thing is, so I did finish both the, both Iron Fist and Luke Cage, and both of those seasons sort of ended with this expectation that they were going to have a third season.
Yeah.
And I'm actually disappointed by it. I really am, because so Luke Cage wasn't necessarily the best, but it had its style, it embraced its style. It really doubled down on that style and left, you know, the character in a very precarious position. So it's kind of odd that we're not really going to get that. Iron Fist, on the other hand, did end in a very interesting way. I mean, there's definitely some gaps in terms of like, well, how did that happen? But it also left an opportunity for there to be a spinoff, which I think if I were Marvel TV, I would totally do the Daughters of the Dragon. Daughters of the Dragon, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. Yep. The team up between Misty Knight and Colleen Wing.
I think that would be a great, because I think I said this when we were talking about Iron Fist. It's like Iron Fist season 2, you heard two things. Well, it's better than the first season, but I mean, everybody basically was talking about Colleen Wing. And yeah, how cool that character is. And, you know, Misty Knight as well. Everyone says, oh, this is such a great character. So why not just give them the show? Now, we don't know that that's really going to happen. Maybe this means the end to those characters as well. I would hope not. Mm. But yeah, I do think that people would be interested in that. And you're hearing a lot of people say, well, maybe that means we're going to get a Heroes for Hire show. I don't know, man. I mean, if they canceled these two shows for whatever reasons, viewership, creative differences, whatever the reasons were, I can't see them then doubling down and saying, well, yeah, we're going to put them together in a show. And then, you know, that would really not make a lot of sense.
Right. Unless, you know, the interesting thing is, so I know that we've talked about this at length regarding the sort of differences between the cinematic universe and television, right? And how there's limited to no connectivity between the two universes. But what does that mean if one of the characters sort of gets canceled, right? So you no longer see Luke Cage or Iron Fist in you know, the Netflix streaming form. Could they make the leap to the MCU, to the cinematic version?
Oh, I don't. I mean, you're talking about just different actors playing, or these specific?
Yeah,
people?
Maybe. I mean, the characters themselves. I'm not talking about the actors. It'd be great if they, you know,
because I think we don't need. I get the fighting was a little better in Iron Fist season, but Finn Jones, we don't need to see him anymore. As Iron Fist. That was horrendous.
Tell me how you really feel.
It was horrendous casting. He was not good. His acting isn't very good. His fighting was bad and got better a little bit in the second season, yeah, but I don't know that I would. I mean, you know, he's not Donnie Yen. So, no. I don't know that I need to see him in the MCU. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'd be very shocked if that happened. I mean, I'd like to see Luke Cage, but I don't know. Down the road?
Yeah, sure, maybe. Why not? You know, maybe like the next phase of Marvel is to introduce these characters in their cinematic version. I don't know. The other interesting piece of all of that is, so they got rid of those two characters, and they're obviously continuing on with Jessica Jones because she's already been greenlit for her third season.
Yeah, and they're already in the works probably on that.
Yeah, filming it.
Yeah.
Or doing something with
it. Well, Kristen Ritter's announced she's directing an episode already. So.
Yeah. So there's that. And then you've got Daredevil, which was a topic we're going to talk about anyways. But that, I mean, is taking off and people keep on talking about that show. And it's only, you know, a couple of days in. But people have already binged it. Lots of conversation happening, you know, lots of engagement from the actors. You know, Vincent D'Onofrio is out there promoting the heck out of the show because he's just amazing. I've only seen the first episode. I loved it, thought it was great. Some people said, oh, it's, you know, the first couple of episodes are slow, but I actually feel like we needed that. And I'm jumping off of, like, you know, I literally just wrapped Iron Fist, so I'm jumping right into Daredevil. So that's all well and good. And then you've got the Punisher, who's already finished off his second season being filmed, and that's forthcoming. So, you know, it's essentially you've got Daredevil, Punisher, and Jessica Jones kind of leading the charge. And who's to say what's going to happen with all these characters after their seasons or shows are over, because Disney is, I don't know if they're just ringing in the chips, bringing them back to the house, but who knows? Like
I don't know if I buy that they're going to pop up on the streaming service. Well, first of all, these shows were co-productions with Netflix, right? So not that, you know, Disney couldn't take over and produce them themselves, but I find it hard to believe that, like, if Netflix bailed on them, that all of a sudden they expect to see this huge audience migration over to the streaming service. Plus, you know, we can debate all we want about whether how connected these shows are to the MCU at this point, but what you can't debate is that they are connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And to have them on separate services, I don't know that kind of serves anybody any proper purpose either, because then you would almost have to break that too, and now they're going to stand on their own, and I don't know that I'd be particularly excited about that.
What would have been cool is if at the end of all of their seasons they all just turned to ash.
That should have happened.
Cool would that have been?
That should have been what happened.
That would have blown everyone's freaking minds.
And then you either bring them back or you don't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, pouring one out, a little bit of that Bushmaster rum, pouring that out for Luke Cage.
And we'll reiterate what we said in the last episode when we were talking about Iron Fist. That is, you know, Netflix, you know, without access to those MCU movies and other Disney properties, as they start to migrate off of the service, their loyalty to Marvel is not going to be there necessarily. And they're going to start looking at hard numbers. And at that point, you know, a company like Netflix, which, you know, hemorrhages money on original content, it doesn't matter if you're Marvel or who you are, you have to deliver. And based on whatever metrics they use, these clearly were not going to deliver. So.
Yeah, and it's a prime example is the fact that they're able to stream Titans in international markets, right? They're cutting deals. They don't care. MCU, DC, whatever, Disney, Warner Brothers, whatever. It's whatever's going to bring more money, right? So that's ultimately what they what their end game is. So speaking of Titans, Chris, did you watch episode 2?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, man. Thoughts?
You know, I want to give this a couple more episodes, but this show so far is not for me. And it's weird because there's elements of it that I should like. But it's just not, I don't know. it's not connecting with me right now. And maybe I just need to kind of take a step back and breathe a little and just accept that this is what they're doing with it. Mm. But it, to me, episode two is a lot more of the same.
Yeah. I actually think it was worse than the first episode.
I thought it was worse. I just didn't. It just seemed like more of the same, like I said to me. And, I'm going to give it a chance. I mean, I'll keep watching because you never know. There wouldn't be, there's been many shows that kind of started off, at least for me, like Rocky, and then, they got better. But I just don't see myself connecting with, if this is good, the way it's going to continue on, I don't see myself really connecting with this at all.
Yeah. It's painful for me to watch the show, to stick it out. God, the things I do for you listeners. No, all jokes aside, I mean, I want to give this the benefit of the doubt for sure. But I agree, man. I'm like, I don't really know what I'm watching exactly. I don't know what the point of everything is. And I know that we're watching a very slow burn story, which is,
right,
again, where I'm kind of struggling with this, like, week to week watching thing, because I just, to be honest, I'm not even at the point where, like, after an episode ends, I'm like, I can't wait to get to the next one.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So you introduced me to, like, two very obscure DC characters. I know nothing of them. I don't know about Hawk and Owl. That's their name?
Hawk and Dove.
Hawk and Dove.
Yeah.
Hawk and Owl. Oh, boy. And I didn't care about them one bit. I did not care about them.
Well, clearly, because
one
called them Hawk and Owl.
I don't know. I mean, I just didn't. First of all, I thought the costumes looked like doo-doo. Some dude with a white and red, like, and you're in a warehouse. Were you planning on sneaking up on somebody and you've got shiny leather on? Are you kidding me? Anyways, that's besides the point. I'm sorry. I'm about to go on a rampage here. And then it was just kind of like, it's realistic. Like, they're trying to base it in this real world setting, blood squirting out all over the place. And, and then you got some like mad scientist. I'm going to, pull his pants down, guys. And he's got a pair of scissors. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Is this Hostile? Like Hostile with DC characters with a hokey pokey mad scientist looking dude. Like, I didn't understand what was going on. And then I guess they killed Dove. Sorry, spoiler alert. Like, she gets fired off a roof in the fight sequence. I mean, wait. And the other thing is, too. Chris, watch what's going to happen when I say this. But I think the Iron Fist fight scenes are better than what we're seeing on Titans.
Ooh, well, I don't know about.
The second season of Iron Fist is way better.
Well,
Fight sequences, come on.
Yeah, I just.
All jokes aside.
I feel that the. And again, I we talked about the violence in the last episode, and I compared it to Punisher Warzone. But in this episode, it actually reminded me more of, and this is going to sound like a very random, weird analogy, but we actually talked about it in our Halloween episode. So it kind of ties into this show. In Halloween 4, there are a couple of scenes. I mentioned them, like the thumb through the forehead and when he rips the guy's like throat opened with his bare hands, that it's like, even in the context of like a movie like that, you're like, no, that's just, see, you did that just to do it. Like, you're doing it just, it doesn't serve any other purpose other than to just be over the top and excessive. That's how I feel like the violence is in this show. Like, it's like somebody said, hey, we're going to be cutting edge and we're going to be gritty and violent. And we're going to try to shock people. And it just comes off as flat to me because it's like, it just doesn't fit. in the context of what they should be trying to do. And it's like, you're almost like you're, you might as well just like, everybody should just be wearing t-shirts that says, we're being adult. You know, because it just reeks of like trying too hard to be adult. I would much rather them focus on story and character development and rather than that type of stuff. And I don't feel like they're doing that. And your thing with Hawk and Dove, it's like Hawk and Dove is real, like that's hardcore, right? And you're right. They treated them as if like we all should know. And now I understand DC Universe's audience right now are hardcores, but you're still creating a television show that it, in theory you should be treating as if this was on television. And that, you're right, in the context of watching this as a show, that fell flat because they didn't tell us anything about them.
No,
and the episode
was
named Hawk and Dove, so you would think that it would have essentially been like an origin for them,
right?
Or at least give you something.
Did they even say their names? Hawk and Dove?
Hawk and Owl?
Boy, whatever. Hawk and Pigeon? I don't know. Chicken Hawk? I like, that was a thing that, that kind of blew me away. And then, oh, here we go. Yeah, I'm, you know, I'm Dick Grayson and I'm different. Like, let's just, like, I'm every episode I need blood squirted on my face. Come on.
Right. That's what I mean. It's like, oh, wait, there's the weekly blood splatter across
the face. Oh, look, yeah. I'm Dick Grayson. I'm cool now. I've got blood on my face. Yeah.
It's almost like they resigned themselves ahead of time that, like, in their minds, well, Robin isn't really that cool of a character, so we need to have blood splattering across his face in every episode.
It's like, what if we took Leonidas from 300 and mixed him with, you know, with Robin? It's like, nah. And here's the thing, like, what really sets Robin apart from the other heroes? Nothing. Nothing, because in this world, everybody is violent. Everybody is killing their thugs.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So what did Robin? So I guess, you know, Robin had a code and now that code is broken, or because they made it seem like in that last scene where Dove gets thrown off the roof that, like, oh, you know, he's different now and he's like a psychopath. Killer, like he's gone off the reservation and is like, meanwhile Hawk and Dove are doing the same thing. So I just don't, it's like, you know, the pot calling the kettle black.
It's again, it's another one of these universes where there like are no real heroes, you know, the lines are all blurred, and maybe eventually we'll get to that point. But I mean, listen, it's not corny. It's okay to have your heroes be heroes and even smile every once in a while. Nothing wrong with that. And
but they're not being heroic at all.
No. And hopefully they're just like letting out anger, it seems.
Yeah. So, and I mean, Endgame, right? So Hawk and Dove, we're going to buy a farm on Wisconsin. So we're going to like stop this arms deal. Great. Nah, awesome. There's no continued story build for Robin at all. I thought the show was called Titans, and I don't know if Hawk, because again, I'm not familiar with these two, but I don't know if Hawk and Dove are part of the Titans.
I mean,
because
been,
in all the marketing and promotional material, I see Starfire, see Beast Boy, and Beast Boy at this point only has 30 seconds. Between the two episodes?
Right. I'm assuming they'll all have like an episode at some point. But I feel like this show now, having gone through two episodes, would have been better off. They would have been better off now had they just put it up to binge. Now, I know last week I talked about why it made sense to not do it and they're following the CBS All Access model, and I get it, but just week to week, this isn't working, and I think maybe it will work as a finished product, you know, as you get to follow the journey along, but I don't even know if I'm going to be around. I mean, I'm paying for the service, so yeah, I'll be around to watch it, but if I was paying month to month on this, I don't know that I'd get through the first four episodes, you know? So,
yeah.
And I don't know that that's the way to go. Whereas maybe if I got to watch it as one big finished product over the course of a couple of days, maybe I still would have given up after a few episodes. But it would be nice to have kind of seen where the journey is, because right now I'm not completely interested in where this journey is heading.
Mm. And there's no teaser, right? Is there a teaser? Because I'm not catching it.
I haven't seen it. I mean, it, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm gonna keep on bearing through. I'm gonna keep on going through. It's like a root canal without any Novocaine, man. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
By the way, I have experienced that before.
A root canal without Novocaine.
Oh yeah, root canal without any Novocaine. Yeah.
Was that just you being tough, or you just were like?
No. It was a stupid dentist.
Got it.
Yeah, okay. I actually threatened to punch him in the face. Uh-huh.
Did you? You should make him watch Superman Returns.
Oh,
with you, man. So that you can.
Yeah. When you see that stupid little kid, I'm gonna punch you across the globe.
So,
super little kid.
Now's a good time to get into questions, because one of them was from Brent, and he asked us to get super spoiler on Titans after two episodes. So we just did that. So there you go.
Yeah. Now we need to like get some Listerine and wash our mouths out.
So Nerdy Nick's Nook asked, what path do you think the DCU is following with the latest news? So we kind of touched on that also as well. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a good path, because I feel like it's a more confident path. I know it might sound silly that when they move the release date of a movie, but I feel like that's done out of confidence. And I feel like they're confident clearly in this Joker movie, they're confident in Shazam, and they're confident in Wonder Woman. So they're putting these movies in the best position for them to make as much money as possible, which is what you should be doing. So yeah. I think it's good.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
I think they are creating a path of a cadence, you know, so that these movies can be as successful as they need to be.
Yeah.
You know? So.
So I'm going to defer this one to you. Nathan Odinson asks, did Emperor Palpatine best Yoda in Revenge of the Sith because he was stronger in the dark side, or a better duelist with a lightsaber?
You know, that is a good question. I think part of it is, gosh, we're going to get into some Star Wars territory. Love that question, actually. No, I don't necessarily think it was because Palpatine was stronger than him necessarily. I think that, you know, there was a misbalance of the Force. And ultimately, Yoda in himself saw a bigger picture and needed to save himself to make sure he was able to pass on, you know, the learnings and teachings of the Jedi to a new generation. I think he could have continued the fight if he needed to in Revenge of the Sith, but just opted to leave. That scene actually bothered me a little bit, because he does just sort of, he falls and then he's like, Bail Organa, come get me. You know, I'm in the ventilation system. And it's just a very awkward scene to watch him crawling.
Right.
You know, if anything, if I was going to be completely honest with you, I mean, if there was a character, I think that to some degree was given such a injustice and disservice, it was Yoda. We do get glimpses of this like very wise Jedi. But then, you know, when they put him in these fighting situations, it was a circus act. And one of the reasons why I just kind of have it's an issue. I have an issue with the prequels because there's specifically Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith.
Although him firing up that lightsaber for the first time was badass, though.
Didn't like it.
Even just the lighting up? No?
Didn't like it.
Really?
Didn't like it at all.
Huh.
And you want me to get into it?
Why not?
So, Yoda, all powerful, like Jedi number one in the Jedi Temple, did not even need to physically wield a lightsaber at all. in my opinion. I thought, and you know what? What we got in The Last Jedi with Luke force projecting himself to ultimately, you know, face off against Kylo Ren was exactly what I wanted to see in Yoda. All powerful. If he had just stood there in deep meditation and controlled the lightsaber through the Force, I would have been like mind blown, and that would have been exactly what I thought Yoda needed. But to have him, you know, pull out the lightsaber in a way that was kind of like he opened, like, okay, so if you think about this, he reveals the lightsaber with his hand, right, but doesn't have the energy to reach across his chest to get it and just calls it up. Like, but then why didn't you just flick your arms out and everything open up? You know what I mean? Like, use the Force to reveal your, take the robes off. Like, if it all just, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It just kind of bothered me. I just don't like it. It was cool to see them face off with one another, Emperor Palpatine and Yoda, but I actually preferred the scene where they were like throwing the Senate seats at one another. I thought that was cool.
Okay. I thought that was cool. That was quite an analysis. We're gonna have to get Rick Shue back on the show to
discuss
your Yoda, your disappointment with Yoda in the his fighting prowess.
Yeah, I don't. I'll do it, man. I'll fight anybody. Oh, well,
we know you'll do it. Yeah, we apparently no subject is a short one when it comes to this stuff. So
no, definitely not.
All right. Well, speaking of what's not going to be a short one either, Tavo. He asked, what are your favorite movies in these genres? So we'll just start with drama. It's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the ones that jump kind of right out at me are The Shawshank Redemption, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. I guess Boogie Nights is considered drama, technically, kind of. Sort of crosses a couple genres, but I'll throw it in there as a drama. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of movies. What do you got as far as drama goes?
Regarding Henry.
Okay.
Yeah, that movie is definitely good. I actually really like, it's going to sound really stupid, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I guess that's a drama.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
Right. Okay.
Those are a couple of them that are my sort of top.
Right.
Top list. Okay. What's the next one on the list?
Well, comedy. This is where my list gets long, because aside from like superheroes and sci-fi and stuff, comedy is my favorite genre.
Mm-hmm.
So I could probably go on for 4 hours just rattling off a list, let alone talking about the movies themselves. Favorite comedies, Young Frankenstein, there's so many. I couldn't even, I mean, Airplane, The Naked Gun, Caddyshack, Animal House.
Stupid comedies.
What's that?
You like those like stupid comedies?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, depends on what you, I don't know. What do you, cause like to me, like Police Academy is a stupid comedy. I don't know that I necessarily consider some of those other ones. But I mean, it's a very, very long list. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on for, and then you get into subgenres of comedy.
Yeah.
You know, that are like, you know, little like weird little goofy movies that I love. What about you?
The Toy.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Toy you just said, but The Jerk also.
Oh man, The Amazing. Jerk is awesome.
Yes.
Oh man, that is so good. The Three Amigos.
Three Amigos, great.
Let me see what else. I'm trying to think of a modern one, because there's so many. I could, you know, 40-Year-Old Virgin. We talked about.
Oh yeah,
this.
I already mentioned that's one of my.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, it's one of my repeat viewing movies.
I'd say that's. Okay. I mean, I've got a whole bunch too.
Yeah,
you know, even in the drama category, because then you think about. Sorry to go back to that one, but you think about like, you know, The Godfather.
Well, yeah, of course, there's movies like that.
Yeah,
I mean, Goodfellas, The Godfather.
Yeah. I mean, it's what, like, when I say favorite, it's like if it's on TV, like be it cable or whatever, I will watch it.
Right.
You know, or I own it. I own the movie and I'll just, right. I feel like watching this
movie. Well, that's like what I think about. Like Shawshank Redemption, I stop what I'm doing to watch that.
Yeah.
So that's how when I start to rattle, if you're going to make me go through a list, like the ones that I'm going to name are the ones that like, these are the ones I'm going to watch anytime that they're on. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sci-fi. And, oh, sorry, by the way, I have to say, you can't be Star Wars and it can't be comic book movies.
Such a bitch. Sci-fi.
Although there's a lot, right?
Yeah,
I mean, RoboCop, really Aliens, Aliens. Yes.
The Predator.
The first two Terminator movies.
I mean, but these are like action films, right? You see,
but not really. Well, The Predator, yeah, but I mean, Terminator is very much sci-fi. Aliens is sci-fi. It's an action, but it's a sci-fi movie by far. RoboCop, I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, if you look at sci-fi, I mean, RoboCop qualifies. It doesn't all have to be like space and stuff. I mean, I'm a big Star Trek fan, huge Star Trek fan. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek IV, Voyage Home, I love a lot. Star Trek First Contact, great.
Phenomenal movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, just within that list, since I can't talk about Star Wars, I'm going to talk about Star Trek.
What about Spaceballs?
Well, Spaceballs would fall under the comedy and sci-fi category. That's I'm a awesome huge one. Mel Brooks fan in general. So, pretty much any of his stuff up to a point. Is just must see.
Yeah, you know? I'd say The Matrix.
The Matrix, yeah, there you go. That qualifies.
That's a great one.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, so fantasy. This one's a little easier for me because I'm not a huge fantasy fan. So okay. I'm just going to go with the Lord of the Rings trilogy because I'm...
Perfect.
In general, not... It's pretty much the... As far as movies go, anyway, it's pretty much the extent of my...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. The Neverending Story.
Okay.
The Princess Bride.
Now, that's kind of comedy, though, no?
Fantasy, comedy, I mean.
Okay.
Maybe.
How about Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren?
No.
No? Not so much? Okay.
Definitely not. What else would be fantasy? Jeez, there's so many good ones, actually. It's actually hard for me to kind of articulate it because there are so many different movies that kind of play in and out of multiple genres, sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, musical is the next one. And so I'm not a big musical fan.
Yeah, neither am I. But I do have one.
What's that?
Sweeney Todd.
The Tim Burton.
Yeah, I actually really like that.
That's a pretty good movie, actually.
Yeah.
I am with you on that. I don't know that it would be my favorite, but that was a good
it's
one.
It's definitely good. A little rock and roll Johnny Depp singing Broadway show tunes. Go yep. for it.
All right.
Go ahead. What do you have?
Chicago. No. Yeah, not Chicago.
Oh, I know.
I mean, obviously. Moulin Rouge. Who? Moulin Rouge. Yeah, Moulin Rouge. That would be it. Yeah. It's right there.
You know what's funny? So my wife and I started watching Les Mis, the one with Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Les Mis is actually one of my favorite Broadway musicals of all time. I have not seen that movie version though.
Yeah, we didn't make it but 10 minutes into the film.
Got it. Have you seen are you familiar with the show itself?
I am. And I think the problem that I had was like, he would say, "Oh, hi, how are you? I am doing well. How are you?" And I'm like, whoa, what? Like every other line is they're singing, and I'm walking down the street, and I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Give us a little more of that.
No.
All right, I would like a live version of that next weekend, if possible.
Dude, with enough beers, I'll do anything.
Perfect. It might be a very different episode next week.
Yeah.
We do show tunes from the streets.
I'll be skipping down the street. Yeah. Well, I'll do a whole episode like that. Have you watched Titans episode 3? It was crap.
It took us an hour and plus to go off the rails, but it happened eventually.
It always happens. Damn it. Try to keep things serious for you guys.
So Ron Diesel saving us right now by saying, with the success of the recent Halloween movie, which of the two franchises is still going to be difficult to get made, Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th?
So it's kind of interesting that he's asked this question, and he asked it before like stuff started to trickle out. But apparently
the LeBron James thing.
Yeah. So LeBron James is like on deck to produce a Friday the 13th reboot for the third or fourth time. let's keep on bringing him back. I don't think either of them are difficult. Actually, I think what they suffer from is nostalgia, actually, because people have such fond memories of them, and they are the quintessential sort of slasher. So you've got your like universal monsters, you know, the Wolfman, Dracula, Frankenstein, the Creature from the Black Lagoon, all those guys, right? And then you've got this like new wave, the like new wave slasher guy. I mean, they're slasher, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. The Freddy Krueger, you know, Michael Myers. So it's kind of hard to kind of like get away from, you know, their original iterations, which is another reason why I think it's been kind of hard to get some of these Universal monster films up and off the ground again. I think the only one that was semi-successful was Bram Stoker's Dracula, but it actually had nothing really to do with, you know, the Bela Lugosi.
Right. That was not presented at all like a monster.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That was like a period like a drama. Yeah.
More like a drama.
Yep.
So, you know, I just think they're going to continue to like milk the crap out of them wherever they have an opportunity to. So the success of Michael Myers kind of coming back and doing his thing all over again is going to give you know, some runway for these characters to make an appearance. Now, I'll say, I think if I were to place a bet, the hardest one probably is Freddy Krueger.
Well, that's what I was going to say. My answer was going to be, I think it's much easier to keep redoing Friday the 13th movies than Nightmare on Elm Street because of the fact that Freddy Krueger is of the famous icons right from that time period. Jason, Leatherface, Michael Myers. Freddy Krueger is the only one with a real personality.
Right.
You know, he's the only one that speaks, really, and he's the only one that... Where his very, like, there's more to him. There's depth to that character, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, like you said, Jason's a man in a mask. Whether it's zombie Jason or the pre-zombie Jason, still a man in a mask.
What about Jason in space?
Yeah. You know, any version of Jason is still a man in a mask. Michael Myers, you know, they tried to give him, the more you try to give him a backstory, the worse he gets. Better when he was literally just a man in a mask with no motivation. And, you know, Leatherface and all that stuff, too. So it's, but Freddy Krueger and Robert Englund is so iconic. He defined that character. So, you know, people will debate over time, like, who was the best Jason? Who was the best Michael Myers? Who was the best whatever? But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, they're all just guys in masks. So really what you're looking at is, well, did they look cool? Like, what was their size? What kind of kills did that version of the character have? Things like that. But with Freddy Krueger, I mean, Robert Englund has a definitive performance there.
Mm-hmm.
It's his voice. It's, you know, the words are coming from him. It's his look. And it's just, you know, they tried to do the remake, and Jackie Earle Haley, who's a good actor, it just wasn't the same. And it wasn't the same because it wasn't Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger.
Right.
So that's why I think that's going to be almost impossible to do and to do well. It may be, I mean, you might have to wait years before people have just completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
Plus those movies, those Nightmare on Elm Street movies, at least the good one, they've aged well enough to where you could still watch them today and it's fine. Like, because they weren't, they're very 80s in some ways, but there are elements of it that still transcend.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, I don't even need to watch it. It still scares the shit out of me.
Right. So I think that, you know, you can just keep making Friday the 13th movies all you want because there's really not much to it. It's a guy in a mask killing people in cool ways.
Yeah.
A bunch of teenagers.
And lots of, teenage sex in the woods.
When you try to come up with a concept, high concept, you wind up with Jason X, you know, Jason in space. So
yeah,
keep it simple. And I think they can keep doing that. Now, but part of the reason why they haven't had the ability to keep making them is because of this whole Victor Miller, Sean Cunningham lawsuit, where Victor Miller, who wrote the first Friday the 13th, actually just won the rights now in court after years as a creator. So that's been part of it, why they've had some trouble getting that off the ground. But I don't know that I even will ever want to see a different person playing Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, I agree. I did not like the remake at all.
Yeah.
Just too, it's too weird, man. Guy looked like Silly Putty.
Yeah.
Literally.
So comic book nerd, he actually asked about Luke Cage and Daredevil. What we thought of Daredevil. So we both have only seen the first episode of Daredevil, yep. And it was great. And I'm anxiously waiting for the chance to get through more of the episode. I just haven't had the time. It's not that I didn't have the interest. But I'm probably going to knock out a few more of those episodes before we go to see Halloween on Saturday. So hopefully I'll have a few more in the can before next episode.
Yeah, same. Cool.
And we have
JRB, right?
Well, so yeah. So JRB basically wants to start with me, and he wants us to take turns eliminating one of these horror movie icons until we get to a champion. So he's got a pretty long list. And I'm just going to go through the list here. Freddy, Michael Myers, Pennywise, Jason, Leatherface, Hannibal, Pinhead, Jack Torrance, Chucky, The Beast, The Thing, Candyman, Ghostface, Annie Wilkes, Carrie, Sadako, Reagan, the creepy old lady from Watcher in the Woods, and Jaws.
Okay. So
I started off originally, I didn't realize this was meant for a podcast, but I had answered Ghostface. And the reason is not because I dislike the Scream franchise, because I actually like the Scream franchise quite a lot. I just felt that character, it was just so many different people.
Right.
And it's regular people that I don't know that the character itself necessarily stacks up when you realize who those people were under the whole costume.
It's,
so
it's Billy, the boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. I will go with Annie Wilkes.
Okay.
Because I don't even know who the hell that is.
Really?
Yeah, no idea.
From Who's Misery?
That? Oh! Yeah. Goodbye, Annie Wilkes.
Okay.
Like you, but when I'm looking at some of these other people, you really don't hold a candle.
Okay, let's see. Who else? So, I mean, Sadako, that's the thing from The Ring. It's creepy as hell.
Wow.
But,
I didn't even know that thing had a name.
I'll go with that as my next pick.
Okay, Jaws.
Jaws. Which one? The one from Jaws the Revenge?
Yeah, actually, the one
that explodes.
Michael Caine.
Yeah, when that shark exploded because it got pierced with the bow of the boat, because that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't like creepy old ladies, so, but I'll get rid of the creepy old lady from Watcher in the Woods because I think they are creepy, but I don't know that it stacks up here.
Yeah. Who's Regan?
From The Exorcist, right? I believe.
Oh, yeah, goodbye.
Done?
Yeah, goodbye.
Okay.
I didn't think that movie was that scary.
It's creepy. The music's creepy.
Yeah. And they do some really, like, graphic stuff. Like, right. But.
All right, so I'll get rid of Carrie just so we can get rid of that whole... We've pretty much eliminated the whole bottom of the list.
Yeah.
All
right. The Beast.
Okay.
Not really scary.
I'll say The Thing, just because I love the John Carpenter movie, but it's... The Thing is more the product of what it inhabits.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as an entity unto itself.
It's an alien, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So long, Hannibal.
Yeah, done. All right.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting to a place where.
Yeah, we're getting to the elite now.
Yeah, we're getting to the elite. Yeah. And if you notice, a lot of these are like supernatural.
Sure. Type characters. And so on that note, I'm going to get rid of Pinhead because I think Pinhead's overrated. To be honest with you, in fact, in the original Hellraiser,
is the Acolytes
barely even a character. But yeah, I'll get rid of Pinhead.
Okay.
Since this list is missing the Tall Man from the Phantasm franchise, which is one of my all-time guilty pleasure franchises.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but he's not on the list, so we can't. Keep him nope, or eliminate him. Yeah.
He'd probably get cut anyways.
Probably, yeah.
Goodbye, Candyman. Didn't really find him to be that big of a deal either.
No, although I'm a big fan of the original.
Yeah.
I think it's a good movie, and I heard they're going to remake it, and I think the potential there is really good. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to that movie beyond just being like a horror movie. I'm a fan, but yes, as a character, not going to make the cut here.
Yeah.
So I guess I got to get rid of, I'll get rid of Jack Torrance just because it's not enough of a resume.
All righty. I've never been a fan of, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So long, Leatherface.
Okay. You should watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Next Generation, where he wears lipstick.
Ah, all right.
Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey were in that before they were anybody, and they wound up re-releasing it after they became stars. It was like on the shelf. They released it after they became stars.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and Leatherface is kind of like in drag, sort of in that movie.
It's
bizarre.
Sexy.
Yeah. Okay, so who do we have left here? We have Freddy, Michael Myers, Pennywise, Jason, and Chucky.
That's right.
Okay. So
it's my childhood right here.
There you go. See, now here's the thing. I'm not exactly sure what, like, I guess we're just basing it on the character themselves. So, that's what makes this tough, because, so Pennywise is an all-time creepy character, right?
Yeah.
Especially the Tim Curry version.
Oh, yeah.
But,
beep, beep, Richie!
But Pennywise, in theory, doesn't, I mean, it's not the actual killer, right? So whatever it is what's killing people, and Pennywise is one of the forms.
Oh, here we go.
So we almost get back to that thing again, right?
Yeah.
So whereas these other characters are the ones literally, they are the killer.
Right. Right.
And I'm not sure that that's supposed to even matter here on this list.
Maybe it's creep factor.
It could be. If that's it, then, I mean, creep factor You know what? If we're going to go by creep factor, I'm going to get rid of Chucky.
Yeah.
Because Pennywise is much creepier than Chucky. Chucky, I like the Child's Play franchise. I like the movies, most of them. But I was never super creeped out by Chucky.
Did you ever grow up with a My Buddy?
I didn't. I mean, I know people. I know My Buddy. So I guess in that sense, yes, it could be very creepy. But I always found like the doll in Poltergeist, that clown doll thing, creepier than Chucky.
Yeah. There's you know what I mean? A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That,
And then Chucky kind of became almost like a comedy character.
Later on.
So
totally.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Poltergeist 1 or Poltergeist 2?
1.
Real quick.
Yeah, 1.
Yeah. Although that...
Poltergeist 2 is okay, but I mean, 1 is iconic.
What he used to sing a song, that guy.
I mean, there is so many creepy
God
things.
God is in his holy temple. Yeah. Creepy.
You're in a singing mood tonight, huh?
I should put that dude on there. Because he's creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got rid of Chucky. Right. Oh, God.
So you're down to Freddy, Michael Myers, Pennywise, and Jason.
Jason.
You're getting rid of Jason?
Get rid of him.
Got it.
Go for a swim, buddy.
So now is where it gets tough because we're getting into like all time favorites here.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? Freddy, Michael Myers, Pennywise. I got to eliminate Pennywise.
Okay. You know who I'm picking. So long, Michael Myers.
So there you go.
Freddy Krueger has got to win this shit.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
Because he's... You know what the thing is about Freddy Krueger? God, this is 2 episodes now of us talking about it. He's brilliant. It's a brilliant character. You scare the hell out of people with a cinematic version of a character, right? You bring him to life in a movie. And you do it in such a way that when you go to sleep, he literally comes to life in your imagination, in your dreams. It's brilliant. I mean, that's the thing. That's the love-hate relationship I have with the characters, because he literally tormented me as a child in my sleep. Like, basically came to life for real in my mind. It's crazy. Love it. It's just like a mind twist.
Yeah, and if you want to know how creepy and scary Freddy Krueger is, so picture little Aaron Varola, the man who would grow up to want to kick 5-year-olds after Superman Returns, still to this day being terrified of Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. I mean, I could watch him. It's fine. It's just every once in a while when I'm in the deepest of sleeps, he'll make an appearance and slash me. I still have like a let me stop, because I'm not on a leather couch right now, and Dr. Schmidt told me I shouldn't be doing this on my podcast.
Okay.
Kidding. Anyways, is that it?
Definitely it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Time for plugs.
Yeah. All right, well, guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys come back. So if you do want to come back and you want to keep the conversation going, you can always find us on Twitter at the Fanboy Garage. Or you can tweet us directly. You can find me at Twitter at Starting Sith.
And you can find me at Real CL Mighty. And, of course, you can go to thefanboygarage.com. And check out our episode archive and buy some merch, some really cool merch available there in our merch store.
Say merch one more time.
Merch. I love the word merch.
No, seriously.
There is a plethora of merch.
There we go. Plethora. Yes, we got to get it in every episode. No, seriously. We got some really, really cool stuff. I don't think we've talked about our merch enough. Some really cool shirts, really cool designs, which you can put on whatever you like. So if you feel like you are one with the Force and you are training to be a Jedi, we've got a Jedi training shirt. If you really want to feel the power of Superman, we've got a Superman-inspired shirt. If you want to kick some ass, put on a black mask and throw some ninja stars, we've got the Everything Was Ninjas. And then if you just want to support the show, be a walking, talking billboard, you can get the Fanboy Garage logo t-shirt. All types of styles. You can get a baseball-type t-shirt. You can get a hoodie. You can get a sweatshirt. You can get a tank top.
You can get a red hoodie, a bright red hoodie.
A bright red hoodie, which I will be wearing again this weekend. But certainly, you know, all, you know, it'll be supporting us and the show. And we would greatly appreciate it. Also, you can click the Amazon affiliate link. Everyone does all their purchases on Amazon. So all you need to do is just follow the link. It'll take you to a normal Amazon landing page. It's just that it's connected to us. That sounds a little weird, but that's essentially how it works. And you can just make your purchases through that. And if you want to stalk our pictures, which really isn't, we're still kind of building that out, you can check us out at the Fanboy Garage on Instagram.
Maybe we'll be putting some stuff up this weekend.
Yeah, we'll take some pictures this weekend for sure. So you guys can check all that out.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So here's to another episode. Now, this is episode 24, correct?
24.
Which means it's officially been 6 months of the Fanboy Garage. So thank you to everybody who has listened, supported, tweeted, bought stuff. You know, just join the conversation. We appreciate each and every one of you. And hopefully, you know, we'll be celebrating a year very soon. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. So thanks to everybody for the first 6 months here.
Wow. Yeah, you know, wow, man. You just kind of like took that turn, kind of took me aback a little bit. It's been an amazing 6 months, for real. And you know, every week we get new listeners, so thank you for you guys, you know, for joining us, but also a big thank you to the guys and the folks that continue to listen to us on a weekly basis and for promoting the show and for engaging in conversation. I mean, the reason why we continue to grow is because of you. So thank you. Really, really do appreciate that. And, you know, we're just getting started, honestly. I think there's a lot more that we can be bringing to you. If there's, you know, things that you guys, other topics, things like that you want us to cover. I mean, obviously, we do give you an opportunity to do that, but if, you know, you don't have to wait on Mondays when we throw out the tweet to respond. So yep. Thank you.
All right. So on that note, we will put this one to bed and work on the next 6 months.
Let's get out of here.
All right.
I'm scared.
Take care.
Bye-bye.